Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Today we are specifically looking at this thought, and that is the importance of praying according to God's will. Praying according to God's will. We know from reading the Bible that by His very nature, God is a giver. God sees our needs, and His desire is to meet those needs. We notice the giving nature of God all the way back in Genesis chapter 2 when He saw Adam's loneliness and He created Eve as a helpmeet. Then as you read throughout the Old Testament, you see God, the giver, continually meeting the needs of His people. He miraculously delivered them over and over again from their enemies, and He even sustained them in times of crisis. He gave them prophets so that they would have His word and to know Him in a personal way. When His people went astray, He gave them judges to bring them back to Himself. God, as the giver, was constantly noticing the needs of His people and providing for them time after time after time. No wonder Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, after his, what I would call his greatest test of faith up on Mount Moriah, he calls the name of the place where he built the altar Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But we see really how far God will truly go with His sacrificial giving when we come to the New Testament. The most well-quoted verse in America is John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the giver met the greatest need that we had. That's what the choir just sang about, how God loved us and God sent His Son Jesus, who willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. God, the giver, met the greatest need that we have whenever He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, who died as the sacrifice for our sins. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul connects the God who met our greatest need as a God who also wants to meet our daily needs. I remind you of Romans 8 and verse 32. I'm going to get to my text here in a moment. And some of you are probably saying you haven't even announced your text. And that's correct. I'm glad you're awake this morning, all right? I want to read a verse, Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, there God met our greatest need, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The God, the giver, the one who met our greatest need, the need for the forgiveness of sin, to be able to be delivered from the bondage of sin, that same God wants to meet our daily needs. God, who is the greatest giver in all of the universe, just keeps giving and giving in order to meet the needs of His people. And because He is such a giving God, He wants to answer our prayers. Aren't you glad that we have a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God? Having said that, we know from personal experience that God has not given us everything that we have prayed for. Have you ever prayed for something and you didn't get it? All right. Wow, the rest of you I want to talk to right after the service, all right? Because you've got direct line. At some point, we've all prayed about something that we were hoping to have or hoping to see happen. And it didn't happen. God didn't answer that prayer. As we have seen over the last 3 weeks, there are many reasons why we don't receive answers to our prayers. There are those, and even some right here in our community in Stark County, those that I will call the name it and claim it people. How many of you have heard of those? There's a lot of them that exist today. The name it and claim it movement. And they will misinterpret verses to say whatever they want. All they have to do is simply ask God for it, and God is obligated to give it to them. They will use verses like Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And they will misinterpret that verse to say, no matter what I ask God for, he's obligated to give me what I pray about. They'll use verses like John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Or maybe they use verses like John chapter 16, verse 23. The latter half of that verse says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And they will say, see there, all you have to do is use the name of Jesus, and all you have to do is ask God for it, and he is obligated to keep his promise, and he's going to give me whatever I ask for. One of the most important lessons we can learn in understanding the Bible is this: always interpret Scripture with Scripture. Now, if you've never heard that before, you ought to write that down somewhere in your Bible, because if you don't watch out, you will misinterpret Scripture by taking a verse and just lifting it up out of context or forgetting other verses in the Bible that shed light on that verse. We need to always remember that we must interpret Scripture with Scripture. There are great promises in the Bible concerning prayer, but there are also some very important, what I would call, qualifiers that we had better not forget. One such qualifier that we have when it comes to this subject of prayer is found in 1 John. I'm at my text, all right? 1 John chapter 5. Go there, if you will, in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5. I want us to look at two verses, verse 14 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, now let's stop right there. He's dealing with the subject of prayer, is he not? When we ask God for something, we call that prayer. When we pray and we ask God for something, if we ask anything, notice, though, those next four words: according to his what? What's that last word? Will. And it doesn't say according to our will. It says according to what? His will. He heareth us, verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. All right, here's a comment that I want to make based upon 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. It's very, very important for us to pray according to God's will. Would you agree with me? That's what we read about right here in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. How many of you would say there has been times in my life when my will, what I wanted, and what God's will, what God wanted, did not match up? All right, honesty, that's good. We've all been there, have we not? Prayer is not a means of twisting God's arm to get our will accomplished, but rather prayer is seeking God's face and expressing our desire to see his will accomplished in our lives. What is more important, your will or God's will? God's will, right? Ultimately, we know that God's will is better than our will. Did you realize that Jesus himself, who was the very Son of God, prayed this way? Can I remind you of what he prayed in Luke 22, verse 42? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be arrested and go through all the suffering of being scourged and mocked and spit upon, and then to be crucified upon the cross. He knows all of that is about to transpire because he's omniscient. You see, even though Jesus Christ was 100% man, he never ceased to be 100% God. And he prays this prayer in Luke 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now, let's be honest. Sometimes it's hard to know what the will of God is in certain situations. Now, of course, the Bible is very clear about certain things that we should know are God's will. Can I mention a couple? For instance, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, a very good verse for our culture today. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." You don't have to pray about whether you should have an affair with your neighbor's wife. The Bible says that immorality is not God's will, right? It's pretty clear. And yet our culture is full of sexual immorality. And that sexual immorality is not only a problem in our culture, but it's a problem in our churches today among God's people. And we should know better. Why? Because we are God's people, which means that we have God's word and we know what God's will is. And God's will, we read about here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, is our sanctification, to be set apart as holy unto God, that ye should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You say, "You know what? I don't feel like giving thanks today." I can tell you it's God's will for you to give God thanks today. You say, "Well, you don't understand what I've been through." Maybe I don't, but God does. And he says right here, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." So we don't just give God thanks for when we're up on the mountaintop experiencing his blessings, but we also give him thanks when we go through the deep, dark valleys of life. Sometimes when we pray, it's hard to know what God's will is. In those situations, do we just ask him for what we want? Or do we say, "Lord, if it's your will"? Again, I want us to look at the book of James. Will you go to the book of James? In all of these messages, we have been looking at the book of James. And I want us to look at chapter 4. So turn from 1 John 5 and go to James chapter 4. And I want us to read a little bit about what James says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning this importance of submitting ourselves to God's will. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." How true that is it not? Life is like a vapor. We're here and then we're gone. Life is short, but eternity is long. And then the very next verse, notice what he writes. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord," what? "Will, we shall live and do this or that." Now notice the difference. We don't just pray and say, "Well, this is what I want, God, and you're obligated to give it to me because the Bible says I can ask for whatever I want and you're going to give it to me." No. The Bible says that we are to pray according to God's will. We can make plans like this man does here. We make plans about what we're going to do in the days to come. But we need to understand that what is more important is God's plan than our plan. Have you ever made plans and those plans fell through? I have. And we have to back up and punt and we say, you know, I prayed about that, but obviously it was not God's will. It says here, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. James is pointing something out to us, and it's this. We should live our entire life in complete submission and surrender to the will of God. That's the way we're supposed to live our everyday life. We submit ourselves completely to the will of God, the plan of God. Now, obviously, that applies to even our prayer life. Do you realize that even the great apostle Paul clearly understood that his plans and his prayers were conditional to God's will? Do you realize that? I want to read to you a couple of verses. Look at, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. Notice what Paul writes, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He says, I want to come to you, but I don't know if it's the will of God or not, but I'm praying that if it is his will, that I would be able to come to you and that it would be a safe and prosperous journey. Do you see what he's praying? He is praying according to God's will. But that's not the only time he does it. Look at Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, two verses, verses 31 and 32, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Again, he is expressing his desire, what he wants to see happen. But then he says, now, of course, we have to always submit ourselves and our will, our plan to God's will. I've also learned over the years that my prayers have to be yielded to God's timing and God's way. I've also learned that at times he just wants us to be fully yielded to whatever his will is. After all, as I've said over and over again, God is more interested in changing us than in changing our circumstances. Sometimes I think we are misguided when we think that prayer is a way that we can twist God's arm to accomplish what we want. In other words, to change our circumstances. Do you realize that some of you, and I don't know who this might be, but I do know a lot of Christians only pray when they want God to change their circumstances. It's the only time God hears from you is when you want him to make a change in your circumstances. I'm here to tell you that he is more interested in changing you than he is in changing your circumstances. When we pray, we enter into the presence of Almighty God, and God begins to work in our hearts and lives when we spend time in prayer. I have learned through the years that I have prayed about a lot of things that I didn't get my way on. But when all was said and done, God worked in my heart and life in a marvelous way. Ultimately, I was the one that needed to be changed and not necessarily my circumstances. God will sometimes even delay in answering our prayer so that we will learn to trust him and to allow him to build Christian character in our lives. There may be some of you here today that would say, I've been praying for something for years, preacher, and God has not answered my prayer. Maybe he's trying to teach you to trust him more. Maybe he's trying to change you. He's building character in your life. I'm reminded of verses like Psalm 25, verse 1 and 2. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Verse 4 and 5 of that same psalm. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. If you're in a holding pattern right now and you're waiting on God to answer a prayer, I want you to understand that often he delays answering our prayers so that we will learn to trust him more, so that he can work in our hearts and lives and mold us and shape us and conform us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Our prayer should always be the words of the psalmist found in Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O God. It's not about what we want, folks. It's about what does God want. That's what's important. God's will is always best for us. And the reason why is because he sees the big picture when all we can see is the immediate situation. Dr. Woodrow Kroll, many of you have heard him, no doubt, on the radio or maybe even read some of his books. He tells the story of Augustine, the great 4th century church father whose portrait, by the way, hangs in our Christian Hall of Fame. And he tells the story about how Augustine came to faith in Christ. It certainly illustrates my point about the importance of praying according to God's will. Augustine's mother, Monica, was concerned about her boy's salvation. She learned that Augustine was planning to leave home to go to Rome, which was a cesspool of sin. A lot of bad influences, wicked lifestyles that existed there in the city of Rome. And so Monica, Augustine's mother, began to plead with God that he would not allow her son to go to Rome, but God did not answer Monica's prayer. And Augustine ended up moving out of home and going to the city of Rome. But God's will overruled a mother's will. What Monica could not have known was that Augustine had to go to Rome because in the eternal and the sovereign will of God, there he would encounter Ambrose, Bishop of Milan. And through him, Augustine would come to trust Christ as his personal Savior. Sometimes, folks, what we think is best from even a human logical perspective is not always what God's will is. And we have to trust God. We have to wait on him. We have to be patient. As the psalmist says, we have to rest in him. You see, God's will done in God's way and in God's time is always best for us. Do you agree with that statement? We agree with it. We know it's true, but boy, isn't it hard to live that statement, huh? God's will, God's way, God's time is always best for us. Sometimes we think it's our will that needs to be accomplished in our way and in our timing, but that's not the way God works, right? The more you spiritually grow in your walk with the Lord, the more you understand it's all about God's will, God's way, God's time. That's what is best for us. I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. Last portion of scripture I want to share with you this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The apostle Paul learned this truth in a very, very personal way. God's will, God's way, God's timing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to begin reading in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Now notice, he prayed. And he said, God, this is what I would desire. If you were to ask me what my will is, I would desire for you to take away this thorn in my flesh. Verse 9, and he, that is God, said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul prayed that the thorn in his flesh would be removed, but his prayer was not answered because that wasn't God's will. Hey, next time you pray about something and God doesn't answer that prayer just the way you think he ought to answer that, you're in good company. Because the Apostle Paul prayed about some things that didn't happen. It wasn't God's will to remove that thorn in the flesh. Paul thought that he would be better off without the thorn in the flesh. That was from a human perspective, but God knew what was best for him. And in hindsight, Paul realized that by having the thorn in his flesh, he better understood about the sufficiency of God's grace. If God had answered Paul's prayer, Paul may have never fully understood how sufficient the grace of God is for every situation in life. He also came to the realization, notice there in verse 9, that it was the power of Christ, not his own power, that enabled him to accomplish the ministry that he was called to do. If God had answered Paul's prayer, he may have struggled with pride, thinking that it was his own power and that he was able to do what God had called him to do. He may have been prideful, the Bible says here, about all the revelations that God had given to him. Listen to me closely as I come to the close of this service and the conclusion of my message. There's nothing wrong with expressing your heart's desire to God in prayer. Nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I sure would love to see you do this. God, I'd really like to see this happen, and I want to ask if it be your will that that be accomplished. But when all is said and done in our prayers, I think we have to genuinely and sincerely end every prayer with this statement, but God, you know what's best. And my prayer is that your will would be accomplished so that you would be glorified in this situation. We always have to back up and say, it's not my will being accomplished that's so important, but it is God's will being accomplished that is ultimately what it's all about.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.